Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much. Join me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Phil Chapa is with us, folks. Phil is a new friend. He's Managing Principal and Chief Investment Officer at Arbol Financial Strategies, LLC. And he's here to talk to us about something that's truly American, and that's the middle class. Phil Chapa, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to have you here on the show. Appreciate you joining us.
My pleasure.
Okay, so in the previous segment, when I told the audience you were coming, we're going to talk about this topic. I made the statement that America invented, created, and has proliferated the idea, not only the reality and the idea of the middle class in the United States. We perfected it here in the United States, and we've helped to basically distribute the notion of it, the concept of the middle class, around the world. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. You are 100% correct. There's no doubt about it. We began with the middle class in the U.S., and now you saw it when it spread to Europe, how it really changed the European scene. We're beginning to see the development of the middle class in the Asia-Pacific Rim, and even in places in Latin America where before it was either rich or poor and nothing else. So the middle class has been the staple. We've been the backbone, the blue-collar worker, the white-collar worker, the nine-to-fivers, the shift workers. Those have been the absolute backbone.
But, you know, Phil, it's not just blue-collar, because I grew up on a farm, and my parents, my dad was worked on the railroad. My mother, you know, was a telephone operator. We were classic blue-collar, you know, Americans. But I remember somebody saying one time, yeah, I grew up in the middle class. My family was middle class. My dad was a doctor. And I remember thinking, what, a doctor in the middle class? But apparently, you know, for much of our history, you know, unless you were ultra rich, meaning, you know, you never had to work for a living, you were part of the middle class. What do you think?
Well, I think a lot of people think that doctors, dentists, lawyers, that they have all this money. Let me tell you, I work with a lot of them as clients, and most of them are considered what we would have thought as the middle class. What's
right.
happened through the 80s and the 90s is right. now there isn't really a middle class. We have a lower middle class and an upper middle class. But that middle class right in between, that swath of America that has been the backbone, is disappearing.
And is that so? That's what the issue is. Now, research that shows, a survey shows that about almost one-third of Americans are living in the low, in or near bumping the low-income category. Is that right?
Actually, it's even worse than that, Jim. It's one in two Americans are now considered poor or low-income.
You're talking about 50%.
50%. And this is why many middle-class Americans have dropped below the low-income threshold, because for a family of four, anything above $45,000 is considered middle class. Below, you've hit the poverty level, and you know.
Isn't that kind of a high number to be putting people in the poverty level? $45,000 a year.
Well, I'm not sure what it's like, you know, in other parts of the country, but I live in the Northeast in New England, and $45,000 for a family of four is going.
But if you go out to Peoria, Illinois, or Sheboygan, Wisconsin, or Dime Box, Texas, $45,000 will do you okay. You won't get rich, but you won't starve either, and I don't think you'll consider yourself poor either.
I don't know, Jim. I haven't met anyone making $45,000 that's now, given our economy, making ends meet. I mean, they're facing pay cuts because of a reduction of work hours.
Well, those are different issues though. But let me ask you this question. Isn't a large part of the reason why we have these new numbers, these new statistics, because of the demographic shift in our population?
It is because the folks moved to the suburbs. We're living.
I'm not talking about migration. I'm talking about the demographic shift, meaning that we have an increased number of minorities in the United States, what we classically consider minorities who typically have not been part of the middle class. I'm just talking demographically now. I'm not making a political or a value judgment here. Just demographically, isn't the increase in those demographics isn't that one reason why we've had the shift? The percentage,
I don't think it's
from
that
percentage
easy.
Standpoint.
I don't think it's that easy. First of all, many of those immigrants and many of the new folks that are in this country are creating the wealth. I mean, we tend to think that new immigrants are the ones who are poor. That's not true. Look at the Japanese. Look at many.
No,
of the
I'm not talking about the Asians. I'm talking about Hispanics primarily. I mean isn't that the fastest growing group of Americans of an American population?
Absolutely, but you have many Hispanics that are in the middle class. Economically, it's not that easy. I mean, we have always had, for instance, migrant workers. Yeah, that brings down the median level, but do you realize that 60% of migrant workers today are still non-minority? They're
mm-hmm.
still white. And
yep.
that's the problem, is we tend to think that they're the groups that are bringing us down.
How much of this is because corporate America continues to squeeze what they can out of their workers without 2008's reset everything, and I wonder if part of the shift that you're talking about is because corporate America is still holding on to their cash. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. We have put 99% of the money that's out there for the economy flowing through large corporations. It is the small business person that is hurting. It is the sole proprietor, especially, that is going under. And we are seeing businesses close left and right because the money is in somebody else's pocket, but it has not flowed down to those who have always been the backbone.
Well, I wonder if there are other things that are causing the people who are in the lower income categories to maybe not seem as they're, well. One of the things that I know, when I was growing up, poor people that I was familiar with didn't have things that I see people who are considered poor today, the things that they have, cell phones, big screen televisions, things like that. When we come back, I want to talk about some of those things. Also, the cost of food is hurting the low-income folks. And who's responsible for the increases in food costs? And we'll talk about that with our new friend, Phil Choppa, after these messages. He's Managing Principal and Chief Investment Officer at Arbol Financial Strategies. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.